Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Father.
Christ is risen. In the Eastern Christian traditions, they greet each other during the Easter season with "Christ is risen," and the response is, "Indeed, he is risen," or something to that effect. So, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Pretty good. You guys are awake. Before the New English translation of the Mass came out a few years back, one of the acclamations of the people during Mass was, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Now, the grammatically inclined among you may argue that it should be, "Christ has risen." After all, the resurrection is an event of the past. There was a specific moment in time when Jesus rose from the dead. But the church, as always, is very careful and intentional about the words she chooses to use. And she insists that we say, "Christ is risen." Because even though the resurrection was an event that took place at a specific moment in the past, Jesus' resurrection from the dead is an ongoing reality. Jesus is perpetually in a state of resurrection. He is always triumphing over death. He is always conquering sin. And he is always victorious over evil. It isn't that Jesus' resurrection was just at one moment in the past, and then we remain in some kind of question or doubt as to whether that could change. Well, maybe evil could triumph, or maybe death and sin will have their way in the end. No. The church insists on our saying Christ is risen because the resurrection is an ongoing reality. It is the present reality for Jesus. He is always in the state of resurrection. He always lives the event of the resurrection in every moment. So then, the question is, how does that affect us? Well, a lot of people think that the main effect of the resurrection is that we have the chance of going to heaven when we die. I'll admit that is one of the great benefits of Jesus rising from the dead. But there is so much more to it than that. There's so much more. For the followers of Jesus, the resurrection is a present reality. It's now. It's not just something we look for at the end of our life here below. Now, you'd say, well, how are we supposed to live the resurrected life now? Probably thinking, Father is kind of crazy. We're obviously not in heaven yet. How can we be living a resurrected life? Well, Jesus invites us through the gift of baptism to share in the resurrected life, which means that even though we're not in heaven yet, we still experience victory over sin and death. We experience the conquering power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, conquering every form of evil, every form of sin or unrighteousness. Now, baptism is the way that Jesus brings us into this mystery. A lot of people, I'm afraid, think that being baptized or having their child baptized is all it takes in order for us to arrive one day at the pearly gates and have them swing open and for us to march right in. Would that it were so. But the truth of the matter is, those who are baptized but don't practice their faith are at a greater risk of being lost than those who were never baptized at all. Because in our baptism, we take on the responsibility to bring our soul holy, unstained, undefiled before God at the end of our life. And those who didn't accept that responsibility are not held to it. So it's a matter of not just being baptized and not just going to church every Sunday. There are lots of people who go to church every Sunday but don't live the resurrected life. So how do we live the resurrected life? It's a matter of remembering who we are and what we have received in our baptism, that we have truly been set free from sin, that we are no longer slaves to sin. And this is where the enemy of God pipes up and says, excuse me, you think you're not a slave to sin? Let me show you a clip from yesterday of your life or the day before. I can show you there were quite a few sins over the course of the last few days and beyond, even this morning maybe. And so we start to think, well, gosh, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. I still do struggle with all these things in my life. Sin is still a reality there for me. Maybe I haven't been set free. Maybe the resurrection isn't a reality for me quite yet. Maybe it is just a matter of getting there at the end of my life. But the solemnity of Easter, this great celebration of the resurrection, tells us that that kind of thinking is not true. It's false. Because Jesus truly is risen from the dead. And he invites us also, right now, to share in his resurrection. And we might have to remind ourselves over and over again, when that same old temptation rears up, shows its ugly face, when we think we're kind of helpless against it, gosh, I've always kind of thought about that person that way. It's hard to change my ways of thinking about them. Or this habit of speaking, saying things I shouldn't say. Those temptations arise, and sometimes we feel like we're helpless. In fact, I would wager that most Christians think that sin is, in the end, inevitable. After all, we look around, we don't really see anyone who lives a life that's free of sin. So we start to think, it's just part of life. How can we help it? But Easter says to us, we can help it. By the grace of God, we have been given the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So we have everything that we need. We have every gift. We have every bit of strength that we need in order to resist every temptation, to turn away from every sin, and to let those patterns, those sinful habits in our lives fall by the wayside and be a thing of the past. That's the gift of Easter. And that is why it's so important that every Easter we renew our baptismal promises. Because we need to remember what our baptism did for us. It was through our baptism that we entered into this new way of living, free from sin, or having the ability to live free from sin, being made a new creation, being made children of God. We renew the promises of our baptism so that we can plug into the reality of resurrected living. When we renew our baptismal promises, we acknowledge not only Christ has died, not only Christ has risen, but truly, Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen.